we started the Book of Kings. We're in the middle of the first chapter. And we've got a little bit further, but I wanted to go back a drop to verse 10. And this also was the Haftorah in this past week, Chayei Sara. And we mentioned that somewhat, if we understand how the first king came about and how the reign and what the kinds of things that happened, it gives us an insight into the how the kings worked and what happened and the different challenges they faced. We started off with the fact that David HaMelech was pretty much incapacitated. It said that they got a woman to take care of him, and he didn't even notice. He was like out, not in this world. Like he was shaking, and he couldn't be warmed. And otherwise, everything would have been easy. His son would have never dared to declare himself king without asking him if he was there. If he was the king, they wouldn't think about declaring another king. But because there was no, it was uncomfortable. They didn't know what to do. And we talked about the sages of the time. They didn't know what to do either, because they felt that the ideal person, because of his condition, that would need someone who would, he was a very, you know, big person who needed to be moved around, and someone who would try to warm him up. And it would be more appropriate if it was one of his wives, but his wives perhaps were older, were not suited for that position. And then they discussed maybe he would divorce one of his wives, because at that stage of his life, maybe he didn't need all 18. And we said, no, divorce is not it's not an appropriate thing. If it's not, that's not a reason to divorce one of his wives, just to be able to make it more appropriate. So they gave an official permission for this woman to serve him. And then we talked about also the idea that it wasn't just a nurse. If you have first of all, a righteous person would have to have a spiritual person take care of them. It's just one of the most, you know, demeaning things in people in nursing homes if the people that are taking care of them aren't sensitive. And what you often find is when they get somebody that really cares, that it means a lot to them that the person who's taking care of them is a sensitive person, is a caring person. But it also, the control as to who would see the king and when the king could be seen would fall into this person's hands. And we were talking about various leaders at different times, their wife controlled the access, or the one that supervised the king's health, they could decide who could come in and who couldn't. So the one who was chosen was chosen because of her unique, she was also a righteous person. They searched for the exact right kind of person for the job. So the king, meanwhile, is very sick, and she is taking care of him. And David had this son, Adoniyahu, and the older two sons were no longer in the picture, Amnon and Avshalom. And the people felt the lack of leadership, because the whole government couldn't make decisions. David was sick. So Adoniyahu felt that he was fit to be the leader. And his father had not said to the contrary. And his father had never put him into his place. So they question that sometimes people are afraid to say things because they don't want to alienate them. Some people take that as a criticism. That's what actually we're going to, you know, that David never said anything to him all this time. Some people don't like the fact that he had to have the runners, you know, the trappings of a king. It's one thing to feel the responsibility of leadership. It doesn't mention that he took important jobs in the government. What it mentions is that he had these runners and the chariots and the trappings. We get worried about people that want to play the prince, you know, want to be a royal. It's that seems to worry us. Although it's not so clear, we find that he made a partnership with Yoav and with Avyasser, the Kohen. Now, they weren't foolish people. Yoav was a very smart and important person, and he would not have supported him unless he felt that he was fit for the job. And Avyasser was the Kohen Gadol. He's the one that went into the Holy of Holies. So, was not a bad person. In fact, it probably made the most sense. I mean, who would you put in charge of the kingdom? A 40-year-old who was mature and had a certain royal bearing, or would you put a 13-year-old, a baby, on the throne? And so that was, there was a lot of question in people's minds what was appropriate. Now, one of the things was that Yoav and Abiezer had in common is they were both down and out. In other words, they this is a point I want to make a little bit here, and that is that sometimes people draw together for different reasons. So Yoav knew that he was on the out with David because he hadn't he had killed David's other son, and he over the years he had had the rough edges. If you remember, David even said, you know, the sons of his sister were tough people. David was very tough. David was tough as nails, but he said that, you know, my sister's sons, they're tougher than me. And that wasn't a compliment. He meant that they were, and Yoav knew that that the next king wouldn't have the allegiance that David would have to him, and that therefore he supported Adoniyahu, thinking that this would be the best way to stay in power. Abiezer was one from the descendants of Eli, and we had remember before that in the times of Shmuel that they had abused the power, and it had been decreed, not Abiezer himself, but it had been decreed that eventually the Kahuna would, Gedola would be taken away from them. But we didn't know exactly when. So Abiezer assumed that it was that David had indicated that Tzadik would take over for him, and Abiezer thought, now if I support Adoniyahu, then he'll bring my power back. And so he that was their reason for being involved. 11. The palace intrigue is so interesting. So Nusin, I'm sorry, 10. That's where I said I would start. So we find that when the people heard that Nasan HaNavi heard that this was what was happening, he made efforts to make sure that it wouldn't happen. And so we questioned, well, didn't he have a prophecy that Shlomo would be king? If God says this is what's going to happen, then why do you have to make the effort? And then if you remember, we brought you back to what happened when David needed to be anointed. That when Hashem came to Shmuel and said, go and anoint the next king, Shmuel said to Hashem, if I do that, they'll kill me. Shaul didn't like people, you know, challenging his power. And so, what was Shmuel saying to Hashem? You know, how can I go up? He'll kill me. And the answer is that Hashem expects us to work in a reasonable way. He expects us to make things happen, assuming we do the proper things. If we do not do the proper things, if we don't make our all efforts, then it'll never happen. Which means, let's say Hashem decreed that we will be rich. That's fine, but that's only if you work hard. If you throw your money away, it's not going to help the, you know, or if you never go to work, then you're not going to be able to make all that money. Or Hashem decreed that a person find a certain spouse. If they don't court the person, if they don't try to make it happen, it won't happen. In other words, that even something that's preordained, it assumes our best actions to make it happen. If we don't make the efforts, then it's not going to happen. The sea split, when we left Egypt, somebody had to jump in. If that person wouldn't have jumped in, maybe the sea wouldn't have split. We have to go forward. We have to make, when we make our efforts, that's when things happen. So even though there was a promise that Shlomo would be the king, if everybody would sit back and wait for it to happen, it might not happen. And that's it's an important idea. When you think about it, sometimes a person is sick and we go to doctors and you say, well, maybe God doesn't want the person to get healed. No, Hashem wants him to get healed, assuming we make our best efforts to get the right medical attention. But if we're going to sit back and say, well, it must be God's will that it's not God's will. God's will is that we try our best to heal the person, get the best doctor, the best medicines, and then hopefully that person will get better. But we can't say that if the person doesn't get better on their own, it's Hashem's will. No, Hashem expects us to do whatever reasonable steps that people do. And so that's a constant, that concept is important, because you have all kinds of, you know, strange people that say, that if a person is sick, you should let him die. Why? Because it's God's will, right? What's the group that does that?
Christian
Scientists. The Gemara says that there was a Roman that said to Rabbi Akiva, how come you help the poor? If they're poor, God wants them to be poor. So how dare you? That's, you know, you're going against God's will. And so why do you help those that are unfortunate? There's the idea that Hashem wants us to help each other. He wants us to make our efforts. And once we make our efforts, then we can hope for His blessing. We can hope for it. So here also, Shlomo would be king and Nathan's prophecy would come true, but only if he made the efforts. If you don't make the effort, it's not going to happen.
Right back to the Michael Brother Kiva, did he give a response to the...
Yeah, it's the whole Gemara in Avodah Zarah.
What was the bottom line response?
He gave an example. I have to look it up to remember exactly what was said there. One other example, the Chavetz Chaim said this, that we pray every day that God open our, you know, give us Torah wisdom and teach us the lessons of His Torah, and that prayer only works if you open up a book. In other words, if you ask God to make us wise in Torah and you never open up a book, so you can't expect to. So he compares it to somebody that says, "I want to take out a loan," but never shows up at the bank. Like you have to. So Hashem is willing to bestow all these things upon us, but we have to take the steps. If we want to have Torah wisdom and we want this, you know, to love the words of Torah, and we have to study. If we don't study, we're not. So that's the basic idea, but I think it's a very important one, a very basic one, that God helps those that help themselves, or God helps us when we try our best. That's probably the way to say it. So it was necessary for him to do what was needed. That's one point. Vesnasan Anavi, now it mentions a funny thing though. It says when he made the party, it says he didn't invite certain people. He didn't invite Nasan Anavi, Benayo, Esagiborim, Veshlomo, Achiv Lokara. He didn't invite everybody to the party. So it could be that's how they knew that he was intending to call himself the king, because he didn't invite anybody that wouldn't agree with him. The Medrash says an interesting thing here. It says that when people don't get invited, they get insulted easily. That, you know, what got Nathan started? So, you know, all the important people invited, he didn't invite me? Like, it's just a human nature kind of thing. Like, when somebody's snubbed, that gets him going. That gets him, which you might say, well, this is the prophet we're speaking about. Does the prophet also get snubbed? But apparently, people don't like to be left out. That's the big challenge. But the verse kind of says that. It says, well, he didn't get the invite. Verse 11. Vayomer Nathan el Batsheva. Now, it's also interesting that Nathan wanted to convince the king. And again, older people, and people are very advanced in age and they're very weak, to try to convince them to get up out of bed or to do, you really need a lot, you know, it's very hard for them to do the kinds of stuff. They just don't feel well. They don't, you need a very strong, reason for them to make the effort. It is so hard at that stage for people that are that advanced to do things. So Nathan, being very smart, he figured that Batsheva would have the keys. She would know how to get her, you know, to get David going. That was his theory. And so therefore he spoke to her. Which, like I said, is just interesting. So, Nathan and Batsheva. He also realized that she would have an important stake in this. And we mentioned that there were always people that accused David of sinning by being married to Batsheva. And if Batsheva was a sinner and Shlomo was a child of that marriage, then they would be like illegitimate, so to speak. And so there was a danger that they would be written out if there was another person that came to power. So he came to Batsheva. Who's Batsheva, in case we don't know? Aim Shlomo, Shlomo's mother. Sometimes a person's greatest advocate is their mother. Their mother is a lot of great people say that. My mom gave me the mother stands behind a person. So he went to Shlomo's mother. He said, Lema l'shmati ke malach Adonia. He said, I heard that Adoniyahu is declared himself king. Ben Chayit, Adonio David lo yada. And David doesn't know anything about it. Verse 12. Ba'at elokei yasa. So he said, let's figure this out. Please, come on. We need to take advice. We need to come up with a strategy. So again, he doesn't tell her what to do also. In other words, he might have had the plan, but the way to talk to somebody is to, and he was the great prophet, right? You know, he heard from God directly, but he said, let's figure this out. If you want someone to work together with you, you gotta ask them as an equal. Please, let's figure this out. Let's come and think of a plan. Umalti is not save yourself as nothing like Shlomo and save your son Shlomo. 13. Lechiyu bo el melech David, go to the king of Marta v'loata Adonia manishpati lamasecha. Remind the king that he swore to you, leimor ki Shlomo b'nei lachachrei, that our understanding is that Bathsheba, after their first child died, did not want to marry David because he felt that they were punished for that relationship. That's why the first child died. And she only married him if he swore to her that she would be a legitimate queen and that their son would then reign. So he said, remind him of that, and he will sit on the throne. So if Shlomo is meant to be king, why is Adoniyahu sitting on the throne? Verse 14. Now, while you're speaking, sometimes a person isn't convinced by one person. Sometimes they need multiple people to. That's the way the psychology of it. If only one person complains, it doesn't do as much. But if you have two already, that multiplies the effect. So he said, while you're talking to him, Ani avolach recha, I will come after you. I'll say the same thing, but in my own words. You'll bring your vantage point. I'll bring my vantage point, and we'll come together, and we'll bring our the report to the king. 15. So she comes to the king. Now, usually the king probably had certain hours where he did public, you know, sat on the throne. She didn't. She came in the chareda, in the king's private room. And typically that you don't burst in on the king. That was like never done. Like you don't come unannounced. You have to, but Bathsheba, she came in on the king. Melech zaken me'od, and the king was, very old. Or he, we talked a little bit how the president's age, if people have a lot of, responsibility and a lot of troubles, and David certainly had lots of troubles and lots of responsibility, and he, at this point in life, he was very aged. Avishag Ashunamis and Avishag the Shunamis Meshora says she was taking care of him. It's interesting that it mentions that she bowed down. It could be that she didn't always bow down, and that's why he knew something was up. I mean, why is he bowing down? So, in fact, it surprised the king. He sees her bowing down. In a certain way, it reminds us of Megillus Esther. You know, when Esther comes to Ahasuerus and Ahasuerus says, "What's up? You know, what's bothering you? You know, I'll give you half the kingdom." So here also, she comes to him in a way that's, you know, unusual. Oh my king, Malach, what's up? So either because of the bowing or because of him coming in the private session, you know, in the wrong time, you know, just bursting in, he knew something very important must be happening for Bathsheba to come. 17. She lays it on him. You swore. This is about you. You swore. And obviously when a person swears, that means that you have to keep your word. You said that Shlomo. Now, if you remember, there were those that thought maybe Shlomo will be king one day, but if David were to die now, it would be more appropriate to have the older son king. So he said, no, you swore that Shlomo would reign after you. It was very important that he carry on the tradition of David, that he be the one that reigned after him. But who Yeshivakisa, and he'll sit on your throne. 18. And now Adoniyahu has taken over the kingship. And you, I'm not saying that you knew about this. I'm not saying that you did something wrong, but you don't even know what's happening. You're the king, and you don't even know what's happening. Now, how do I know this is true? The Yisrael Shor Mori would sow the rove because he's bringing these offerings. Now, typically, things for a holiday. If you need to declare a holiday, you need permission of the king. And yet, he declared this big party. And if he was doing it on his own, that itself was a sign that he felt he was the authority. And he called the Kolbanam. He called all the other princes. And he called up Yasser, Kohen Eliyahu, so he got the military, he got the religious people, Shlomo Avdecha Lo Kor, but he didn't call Shlomo. No coincidence. Verse 20. He said, now you, my master, the king, the entire Jewish people is looking to you. Who's going to do it? Who's going to sit on your throne? Adoni Amalek, who's going to reign after you? 21. And it will be after my master the king passes on, then me and my son Shlomo might be considered sinners. It's very important for you to take action. We don't often like to talk about what happens after people die, but it's appropriate for people to make plans. It's appropriate for people to worry about, taking care of things when they're not here. That's what basically she said. You got to face the facts. He was older. What's going to happen after you die? 22. While she was talking with the king, and he figures that he comes. Now, Nathan didn't burst in. He was the prophet. He wasn't the wife. He had the knock. So he comes in and they tell the king, Hinei Nathan Hanavi. Now, last time, Nathan Hanavi, when he came, he was the one that called David out, about the sin of Bathsheba. So he certainly was the one person in the kingdom who was the above the king, so to speak, or able to, so Yavalith, and he came in front of the king, Bishachman, he bows down to the king, Alapavarsa. And it's interesting, the word used to describe how he bowed and the way Bathsheba bowed are a little different. Like Bathsheba did the super bow, I guess, whatever you want to call it. It says that she v'tikod Bathsheba, v'tishtakava. She bowed her head and prostrated, whereas by Nathan it says, wasn't quite the same, maybe because maybe it wasn't the same thing. 24. And so he came in front of the king. 24. He said, could it be that you, the king, said Adonio would be king, and he'll sit on your throne? And 25. Because today, this very day, he went and he made a coronation ceremony. The Ikala called and he invited all the kings, Sarasvail of Yasser Kohen, and he invited of Yasser. The Hine Ochlin Vishosim Lefanov. It's interesting, there are certain differences the way he says it and the way Bathsheba said it. He doesn't mention Yoav over here. He just says he invited the other officers of Yasser, and they're eating and they're drinking. The Yomer Yechi Hamelech Adoni Yahu, and everybody's saying, this is the, when you say to honor the king, you say, long live the king, that's Yechi. Long live the. Sometimes you hear that from a chassidim that they consider their leader like a king, so they say Yechi, long live the chassidic leader or the. It's sometimes troublesome if the leader has already passed on and they're saying long live the king. There's a certain group that even though their leader passed on, they still say Yechi, which means they're a messianic, which is not our faith, but that's a different story. But the word Yechi means let them live long. They should live long. Yechi, 26. V'li ani avdecha. And me, your servant, and Sadaka Kain, Benab Ben Yaru, Shlomo Avdecha Lo Karo. Not everybody was invited. So 27. And again, he shows the respect. He has to, show the respect. Bathsheba was his wife. His wife could talk to him one way. Someone else has to talk to him a different way. If this is from the king, Velo Hadata Zavdecha, you never told me. You have to make clear who's going to succeed. So I want to mention something here, a very interesting idea, and that is that sometimes there's something that's preordained, and we fight against what Hashem wants to happen, and we think we can thwart the will of Hashem. So Adoniyahu probably knew that the prophets had said that Shlomo would be the king. And he was fighting against that. He decided he wanted to seize the throne. And he thought that by his taking the actions that he was going to take, he would be declared the king. And his actions would make it that he would become the king and not Shlomo. In other words, he didn't wait for his father to die. He figured that if he would do this now and be declared king during the king's lifetime while Shlomo was young, this was the perfect opportunity for him. Now, actually, what happened was the opposite. Because had he waited, and David had not declared publicly who was meant to be king, the people, many of them would not have made Shlomo the king. He was too young. They might have made him the king. But because he took the actions that he did, in the end, that forced David to coronate Shlomo, and he lost the kingship. So the actions that he took that he thought were going to get him the kingship were actually the actions that lost him the kingship. And you find this concept of Yonah thought that by running away from Hashem, he would not have to tell the people of Nineveh to do teshuva. That's what he thought. He didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh, and he thought if he runs away, then it won't happen. What happened was the exact opposite. He ran away, and he couldn't run away from Hashem. Hashem caused the fish to swallow him and bring him back. But also, there was this big question. Why would the people of a Gentile city listen to a Jewish prophet? So what happened was is that before Yonah got to Nineveh, all the sailors on the boat saw the miracle. And when they came to Nineveh, they told everybody what happened. So that when Yonah came, he was a celebrity. Because it turned out that what he had done to escape, to make it not happen, is actually what caused it to happen. And that's the idea that you can't run away. In other words, sometimes what you think is going to, if something is meant to be, it's going to happen. And that's exactly the, they say that one of the reasons Esther married Ahasuerus was she tried her hardest not to marry him. She didn't take any cosmetics, and she didn't do what the other women. And that was specifically the reason why he wanted her, was because she saw that was what was meant to be. In other words, when things are beshared, so to speak, even if we try to make it not happen, it will happen. There's this idea that these actions that were taken here actually ended up making that Shlomo would reign. 28. V'yana melech David, so David, and we mentioned this took a lot of strength for him to do this. He sat up from his bed. V'yomar li karli Basheva. He said, call Basheva. And v'yisivatavu v'nei hamelech, she came at time when she stood in front of the king. V'yishba hamelech. And the king swore, v'yomar chai Hashem asher podes nafshi mikol tzara. He said, he swore by the life of Hashem. And even when he mentioned Hashem, at this point in his life, he felt it important to mention how many times he faced obstacles in his life. And each time Hashem helped him. You know, David HaMelech had every step of the game, he had his life was threatened, he was dangers and war and family, other things, and yet Hashem saved him from everything. So he swore, he saw Hashem as the one that saves him and came to his aid. So he said, by the life of Hashem that saved me from all difficult things. 30. Ki kasher nishbati lecha b'Hashem, just like I swore to you in Hashem Elokei Yisrael lemor, ki Shlomo b'neich yimloch achrei, that your son Shlomo will rule after me, v'hu yeshur al kisei tachti, and he will take this throne. Ki kein esa hayom hazeh, I'm going to make it happen today. And so, in other words, David on the spot, he said that's going to. Some question he was going to make it happen. Verse 31. The Tikva b'Sheva apayim marta shibam ishtachu l'melech v'tomar yechi Adoni HaMelech David l'olam. You know, even though they're talking about what's going to happen later, so she says, no, we hope that David will live forever. And that's the song that we sing, right? David HaMelech is still chayvei. David HaMelech is still around. The power and the vigor that he created is still amongst the Jewish people. 32. V'yomar HaMelech David karuli tzadik hakoin. So David says, call me tzadik the kohen and nothing of binah ben yoyada. And they all came in front of the king. V'yomar HaMelech lehem kikui mochem. So he says, let's have a meeting. In other words, he from the sick bed, he calls in his advisors. He calls them up and he says, these were all the important people. He said, take with you as avni adonaychem. V'chafti, you know, you should get my, David had his royal troops. You know, he had his honor guard that were with him. Take them, v'chafti meshlomo b'ni, and take Shlomo my son, ala preda, and ride him on the donkey asher li. And v'raditim osal gihen, take him down to the spring. Now it's interesting throughout history how the donkey always gets in the, you know, there's a certain symbolism of riding on the donkey. You know, the Mashiach rides on the donkey, Avraham Avinu rides on the donkey. Now he in order to coronate Shlomo, he has Shlomo riding on the donkey. There's the idea of harnessing the donkey of the that's the idea that a person is in control of his being. In other words, Shlomo was going to reign, so he had him ride on his royal, must have been some kind of special animal. And he brought him to the stream. And there's this idea that a stream is a place where things flow. It's a life-giving force. The way he saw it, what a king should be, is he should be just like the stream sustains people. It gives them, when they're hot and they're thirsty, they get a drink, they feel better, they feel refreshed, it waters their crops. This is what a king should be. He's somebody who should refresh the people, he should invigorate them, he should give them strength. And it should be like an overflowing energy, just like the stream. It comes from inside and it flows out. So that was the blessing that he hoped would convey with the monarchy, would be like an overflowing well. So he says, take him down to the stream. And he says, 34, much, and we know where that stream is, by the way. I think what they call, there's actually a lot of violence there because there are a lot of Arab families in that area. It's on Silwan, maybe? Silwan Valley? I think right next to the old city is that area where the stream is. But he said, take him down to that stream. And he said, Moshe Shem, and do an anointing. Now, usually the son of a king doesn't need an anointing. Here he says to Shlomo, make sure to anoint him. And he should be anointed by the Kohen. V'nathan anavi l'melech ha'Yisrael, and he will be the king. U'skatem b'shofar, and blow the trumpets. Blow the shofar. U'marta michi ha'melech Shlomo. And announce to everybody that he's the king. This will take away the doubt. Now David didn't go because he wasn't well enough to go. He couldn't go himself. He was a sick person. But he said, "This is what you should do." 35. Elisa Makrov, and you'll come up after him. Well, Yeshiva Kisei, and bring him up to my throne. For who Yilmatate, and he will be the king after me. Vosi Sivisi Los Nagidal Yisrael, he'll be the leader on the Jewish people and on Yehuda. We've often found that tension where there's Yisrael and Yehuda. You know, Yehuda, it's a special role within the Jewish people is Yehuda and Yisrael. 36. Amen. And he said, Amen. Kein Yomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Amelech. This is what should happen. And 37. Kasher Hayu Hashem Im Adoni Amelech. And just like Hashem was with you, my master, the king, Kein Yim Shlomo, that Hashem should be with your son also. And he gives him an interesting blessing. V'igado es kiso mikiso. Your son should even be greater than you. The rabbis have an expression that people are naturally jealous of other people, except for their children. People are happy when their children do better than them. People want their children to do better than them. It would be an insult to say, you know, someone should be greater than you, but he said, may it be that your son even be greater than you. They went by crazy and placey. They also brought the crazy and the placey. So this is one of those words that we've talked about, that in every place it's listed, there's different translations. So this book here, the Sonsino, he translated the archers and the slingers. In other words, he had the military there. It's always helpful to have, you want to make sure no one starts up, you have the guys with the big guns, you know, no one's going to say anything, right? You want Shlomo to be king? Fine, that's what you got the archers, and that'll help. We had a tradition that the crazy and the placey was the breastplate. That's the actually listed on Yale's, that was, if you remember, the breastplate was the special, plate that they could know what Hashem's will was. There were the different jewels, and they had Kabbalistic formulas that they would light up and tell us what was the will of God. And the idea was that, you know, life, we always want to know what the right thing is. And so by bringing the crazy in place, he was showing that this was Hashem's will. You might question, why are we taking this 13-year-old boy and putting him on the throne? The crazy place, this was God's will. This was the will of Hashem. The kivu either was God's will or it was the will of the military. Either way, no one was going to start up with him, right? That was the idea. The kivu eshlomo, and you will cause him to ride. I'll pray to Samelef. Dove of Yukos, and go to the Gichon. 39. And he took the oil in the horn, mina oil. Now, he didn't just use any oil. He took the special oil. The oil was the tabernacle. There was this oil, the flask of oil from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, that had been made with this special anointing oil that we had. There's the idea that our leaders are they don't start in a vacuum, but they carry on a tradition. In other words, the oil links them to the previous tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's also an idea with the oil that things are consecrated with oil. Before things were brought into the temple, they would also consecrate them with the oil. It's the idea that they dedicate them and make them special. So they took this oil, the Yimshech HaShlomo, and they anointed Shlomo. It's Kuba Shofar, and they blew the shofar. Omo Kolam Yechi HaMelech Shlomo. Everybody now said Yechi. Long live Shlomo the King. So the David HaMelech, like I said, he found the strength to have this meeting and call on the advisors and be forceful with them and remove all the doubts that people had. Verse 40, Yalu Kolam Achrof. Everybody likes a new king, and everybody came afterwards, and the people were singing, Mechalim, the Smechim, Simchi Gedola. Everybody was happy. This was, there was a worry to people that, David wasn't well, who would run the country. Shlomo, even though he was very young, already had some reputation for his wisdom and for who he was, and people were generally very happy about it. But Tifka Arts, but it's interesting, it says like the people were so happy that the earth like split. It's like it was so loud, like the people were like dancing so much that you like the earth is going to break, like the house is going to fall down, so to speak. I don't know where else it's used that expression, that like the this one says the earth was rent by their sound. I never heard it like that. Rent? Does that mean like to tear the clothing or the how do the other translations say it?
I got rent.
I have rent.
You got rent. I think they all copied each other. I don't know what it means to rent the earth. It was about the birth. I like that, the birth. The earth is about the birth, yeah. It's saying that, generally speaking, when Shlomo was declared king, people were happy with it. It sounded good. People were, there was genuine joy. Sometimes when the things aren't correct, you don't feel good about it. The person doesn't Adoniyahu with his honor and but when Shlomo was declared king, everybody saw it was appropriate. 41, Yishma Adoniyo. Now meanwhile, Adoniyo is in the middle of his party. So Adoniyo is in his party, and he hears the Kol HaKruyim, and he had all the guests were with him, and they finished eating, and they were getting ready for the after-dinner speeches. Everybody has the speeches after. They're getting ready for the speeches. And the Yishma Yov as Kol HaShofar. Now, it's interesting. Now, everybody there, you would think, heard the Kol HaShofar. But Yoav, he knew that something was up. He was Yoav was the one that picked up on things. He was very attuned to something going on. And the other people, they might have heard the noise, but they didn't know. Yoav heard the shofar, and he said, "Madula kola kriya, there's something going on. Why do I hear that?" And now the shofar was used specifically for times of war, for other things. So Odena Medavi, Ne Yonasim of Yasser Koinbo. And so Yonasim, the son of Yasser, comes. He says, this is a good person came. He said, it must be good news. 43, because the good people bring good news, right? He says, Aval, Adonenu HaMelech David, Him L'Kishlomo. And he gets right to the point. He says, I don't know, good news, not good news. He said, but whatever you might think you're the king, but David HaMelech anointed Shlomo. Whatever, and this really put an end to it. It was such a strong statement that it immediately quashed any idea that he had of being king, because it was accepted that Shlomo was anointed. Now, if these people were part of a group to anoint another king, there was an immediate danger that they could be considered rebels against Shlomo. Now, part of his message, though, was to tell him, don't think that just David alone declared him king. The king also sent as Sadek HaKoyin, as Nathan HaNavi, Ben Abi and Yadu, Akresi HaPlesi. And not only that, he rode on the king's special donkey. And not only that, 45 Mishos said Sadek HaKoyin. And he got a Mashiach, he got an anointing. Ben Nathan HaNavi, Lamel V'Gichon, V'Yal Misham. And you might think, well, all right, but maybe people aren't happy about it. No, everybody was happy about it. Vetea Makriya, Hua Kolosher, that's what you're hearing, is the celebration. So, now, maybe you might think after all that, the Shlomo's there, but he's not sitting on the throne. He's playing with his toys or whatever. No, Yigam Yosher Shlomo Kisem Lucha. Shlomo's actually got coronated. So, and not only that, 47. The Gambo Abdeh Adon Melech Avarecha Tanena, and people are already coming to greet the king. Lema Yeti Velokim Eshem Shlomo Mishemes. And you might think that this happened and David didn't realize this happened. And you could challenge it and say, you know, when a person is old and sick, you could say lots of things because the person can't deny it. He said, no, people have actually come to David and they congratulated him. And they said that Hashem should make Shlomo even greater than you. Igdos kiso mikisecha. That Shlomo will be, he will build on what you've done, and he's the one that's going to, that's going to build on your successes. Vishtafu HaMelech. And David HaMelech, who was so sick, who didn't even know that he had a nurse there, whatever, he got up out of bed and he bowed down because he was grateful for it. So, and even more than that, 48, V'gam Kachom HaMelech, and David HaMelech composed some words, and he said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Nosen Hayom Yashiv Akisei V'nei Ros. So it's almost like there's like 10 steps here. Like each one was done. Like, that David really, all these things happened, really left no room for Adonijahu to think somehow that he could now grab the power. Verse 49, when they heard this, V'yechvedu, they were scared. This was serious stuff. V'yikuma, everybody got up out of the meal. Ashenav v'yelcha ishwed, everybody went. They scattered real quick. V'adonijahu yarvinei shlomo. Now Adonijahu was afraid of what Shlomo would do. And so he runs away and he goes to the altar. There's an idea that he didn't think Shlomo would kill him by the altar. The altar was a place of peace. We don't even bring a weapon into the Beis HaMikdash. So he thought that if he goes to the altar, then Shlomo might want to kill him, but he would never kill him there. So there'd be time to talk about it. Verse 51. So the report came to Shlomo. He said that Adonijah was afraid of you. Now, by the way, it calls him Hamelech Shlomo. He knows you're the king, but he's afraid of you. He's holding on to the altar. Lamer. And he said, Adonijah is interesting. He didn't want to live in suspense. He said, Shlomo, you should tell me if you're going to let me live or if you plan on assassinating me. So Shlomo sent him a message, or maybe even went there. I don't know. It's not so clear. Shlomo im yele ben chayil, he tells Adonijahu, if you shape up, if you'll be honest, lo yipa misar, you won't lose a hair. Won't even lose a hair. Nothing to worry. Nobody will touch you. But on the other hand, if you have any kind of plot, any kind of scheming, any kind of intrigue, mace. That's it. You're gone. So, he took him off the altar. And Adonijah came and acknowledged that his brother was king. He said, "Okay, fine, go to your house. I'm going to leave you be. You can go home. That's fine." And so we have the coronation of Shlomo and the putting down of the threat to the throne. And that's kind of the first chapter in the book.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.